It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for tuning in wherever you might be here on this Monday, March 31st. The first quarter of the year is done. Tomorrow's April 1st. And we'll be hanging out with you for two more hours. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. And we have done a lot. We talked about March Madness as it's, I don't want to say come to a conclusion, but it's come to a head. We're down to the Final Four this upcoming weekend with the national championship game next Monday in San Antonio. Duke versus Houston, Auburn versus Florida. Thank you so much to Joe Rexroad for joining us to talk college basketball from The Athletic. We've heard from some NFL teams as they're having their meetings, owners' meetings. Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin talked about waiting on Rodgers. Minnesota Vikings say, yeah, we looked into it. New York Jets are like, we're glad we don't have him. And in a few minutes, I want to talk to you. Damn it, I want to talk to you about a team that just, they said they made a mistake with their current quarterback. And we have so much to get into. How about this in another 20 minutes? Speaking of the NFL and its owners' meetings, we're going to have a chat with someone who's been a scout, someone who's been an executive in the NFL. What can we expect over the next several weeks? What can we expect at the end of the month with the draft? Mark Ross is going to join us, former New York Giants executive and scout. Get his thoughts on what's currently going on. And so we got a lot to do. You want to be a part of the show? You can. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You know, earlier in the show, we talked about the New York Yankees starting to go out here and bludgeon people with the bats. The Bronx Bombers are certainly booming right now, utilizing these torpedo bats, where they've moved some of the wood into the barrel, into the label, so guys like Jazz Chisholm and Anthony Volpe could have a little bit more success. Meanwhile, as I sit here in the studio, I see the New York Mets are playing the Marlins. They currently lead 2-1. And then there's another game that's expected to get started, and that happens to be the Los Angeles Dodgers. And Hickey, wait. That's the Dodgers. So the Dodgers, they play tomorrow against the Braves. So we got some time. But there's injury news on Freddie Freeman. Hickey, I know he missed that first game of the season, like a late scratch minutes before the game. And Freddie Freeman is hurt again, Hickey?
He is hurt again. They actually play tonight. So first pitch, 10:10 p.m. Eastern, 7:10 local time out in L.A., obviously, big game. Braves coming to town, former team of Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman, as announced by Dodger manager Dave Roberts, will not be in the lineup today because of a quote-unquote mishap of what? Freeman getting in the shower, JR, and aggravating his surgically repaired ankle.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Did not exactly say what the quote-unquote mishap was.
What are we going to, is it safe to assume the man just slipped in the shower? That's safe, right? What are you going to say? He's doing something else in the shower? He slipped in the shower.
No, I think you're probably right.
Right.
Yeah, what no, you probably right. Just put maybe the one foot there. He kind of opened his stance too much and slipped.
Okay. You're a little worried about why they're being so ambiguous about this?
I guess it's just funny, like, yeah, he had a mishap in the shower.
Instead of just saying the guy slipped in the shower?
I mean, guy went in there. Like you said, we've all done it. It's all happened to us. You go in there, you slip, you fall. Okay, it's wet. Yeah. The floors are not as, slip-proof as maybe they should be.
Yeah.
Poor guy. But now he's day-to-day.
Poor guy, right? I don't know.
That's like baseball is always the most random injuries.
Bauer cut his finger, right?
And drone.
He cut his finger, with a drone. Glenn Allen Hill had a nightmare, fell through a table thinking about spiders. Jeff Kent says he broke his wrist washing his motorcycle. Yoenis Cespedes. He stepped in a hole trying to tend to his wild boar. Is that correct?
I think he was chasing the... Maybe the wild boar is invading his ranch and he was chasing it down and stepped in a hole and broke his ankle.
Yep. Okay. I'm pretty sure. Didn't somebody cut their hand on an apple, right?
I know a story of a player running through a glass door and cutting themselves.
Somebody was running through a glass door?
Yeah, I was like, I guess so clean they didn't realize that the sliding glass door was shut.
Is it like a bird? Like
I guess. Now they must know how the birds feel. Damn.
Oh, my God.
Glass is clean.
Hey, and Mets just hit a grand slam. Pete Alonso. Good for him.
He's not injured, thankfully.
He's not for now. You know, good for him. What?
You going to put that out there? Jeez. No,
everything's a possibility.
Sure.
Grand slam, first home run, first RBIs on the year. Good for him. New York Mets are beating the Marlins, and I think everybody watching is a Met fan. Hickey, they are showing the crowd there are no Marlins fans.
I mean, JR, I like to consider myself a baseball fan. I can't blame Marlins fans for not showing up. I could not name you truly one position player on the Marlins.
Oh, my God. I can't either. I can name one pitcher on the team. Is that it?
Sandy Alcantara. No one even knows how to say his last name.
Yeah, Alcantara. I don't know. He's going to get traded. I know that much coming off of his injury.
They don't go to zero players now.
Zero. Wow, that's a shame. Man, you think they need to move baseball from Miami? How about that?
Wow.
Just move the team. Why did the A's have to move? Why didn't they just move the Miami Marlins? They don't even call them Miami anymore. They're Florida again. Whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy, too, is baseball is such a popular sport in Florida. You think, like, there'd be so many baseball fans that would want to go see pro baseball. I mean, maybe just because they stink, but the Rays and the Marlins, woof.
Yeah, what a representation, right? How about they just move the baseball team to Orlando, put a dome in there, and just call that the new Miami team, okay?
The Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, the Gators. Call them the Gators, right? No, too much.
Why not? Sure.
Yeah, sun going on down in Florida. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Lee is here from Cincinnati. You're on the JR Sportbury Show. What's up, Lee?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, JR. And first thing, you talk about Florida Marlins players. Remember, Jeff Conine was great for him. I think his son, Griffin, is playing for him now, if I'm not mistaken.
Is he as good as his dad?
Heck no. Nobody's ever heard of the guy, but everybody heard of Jeff. Doesn't matter. Pretty, yeah, there's still people that might be known on there, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, pretty irrelevant then. Thank you. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to ask your opinion on this. What do you think are the chances of, well, let me rephrase this. I think the Gators are going to win the national championship in basketball. Do you think there's a team that can beat them and why? I will tell you that I think their game against Auburn is the quintessential game in the national championship this year. I think that those are the two best teams playing, and whoever wins that game is going to win the national championship. So what do you think the Gators' chances are beating Auburn?
Okay, well, first, I mean, you made a pretty bold statement by saying you don't think anybody can beat Florida, and also by saying you believe Florida is the best team. And then you're asking me, do I think anybody could beat the Gators? And I've sat here, I think, for the past, 2 hours, past 2 weeks, I've said I believe Duke is going to win the national championship. So what part am I missing? I also said about an hour ago, I think that Florida is ultimately going to beat Auburn. I think that's going to be the case, but I don't see Florida beating Duke. No, I don't think they have enough firepower.
Well, the reason I think they're going to beat Duke is the fact that they are like they're the juggernaut of basketball. What I mean by that is that Duke's got a lot of great players, okay? But Florida wears everybody down. And I don't know if you know about Marvel Comics, and I know I'm really stretching this out, but the juggernaut, you can't beat him, you can't stop him, you only slow him down, but he always comes back. That's the thing about the Gators. The Gators' bench is so deep, they keep running people in and running people in and running people in, that it tires out the other team. That's the whole way they have won every game, even especially against Texas Tech. That's the way they're able to win that game because they're behind, but they still kept coming at them and coming at them, and Texas Tech was finally gassed. I think that's going to happen against Auburn and against Duke.
But the question of asking me, do I think anybody could? What am I supposed to sit here and go, no, I don't think anybody could beat Florida. I don't think anybody.
But there you go. Exactly. Yes. I think you're supposed to say, Lee, you are so right. I agree with you completely. Well, I am so glad that you were on the show.
I'm not one of those guys who sits around and talks in absolute. So, of course, Florida has a chance. Of course, they have an opportunity. But I see Duke as being too big. And, yeah, I mean, if they're going to play the way that they played against Texas Tech and having to kind of bounce back and rely on Clayton to beat them, I think Duke is very different. I think they have an opportunity to wear them down, especially given their size. So we got to see what happens. But I got Duke winning against Florida next Monday.
Well, that's fine. I appreciate your opinion, and I respect it. And that's why you've got the greatest sports show that there is, because you tell it how it is. And you don't listen to guys like me. I mean that.
You could be right on Monday. And if you are, you can call me back and say you're a genius. I'm not going to dispute the fact, okay?
I think you know me well enough that I'm going to do that, sir.
as you should. Well, thank you, Lee. Appreciate you, man.
We appreciate you too, GR. Thanks, man.
No problem. And of course I know the juggernaut. How would I not know? Hickey, do you know the juggernaut, Hickey? That's a better question for you.
Do you think I know the juggernaut?
You don't know the juggernaut.
I have no idea.
So he is a, we talked about how large Saquon Barkley is as a human being. He was thrown out the first pitch today, right? Remember we talked about how big he was?
How he made Brandon Graham look quote unquote small.
Yeah, right. This makes no sense. Imagine if Saquon Barkley, what is he, 5'10", 5'11", you think?
Yeah, it feels fair. Yeah.
Imagine if he was 8 feet tall. And spread out a little bit more. Imagine that.
Wow.
Now, you know what? Forget 8 feet. Yeah, about 8-9 feet tall and built the same way that he is, but wider. Like built like a power lifter.
That would be intimidating.
Yeah, that's the juggernaut. And if you put, I don't know, you put a helmet on the guy and he's, you know how the Kool-Aid man runs through windows and doors?
Yes.
That's what the juggernaut does, for real. And he's a human being. He has like a jewel in his head that makes him super whatever. He's already a freak, but I think I've tried to describe the juggernaut the best way possible. He's an X-Men. He's beating up on Wolverine and Cyclops and all of those. You know those guys.
I've heard of them, yeah.
You know who Wolverine is.
Yeah, I know I've heard of Wolverine. Like
With the claws that come out. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we got that one. The juggernaut, not so much, but Wolverine, yeah. Maybe we got that. Thank you for Lee for. Why did he bring that up? Did he call the Gators a juggernaut?
Yes, because of their ability just to wear you down.
Okay.
Wave after wave after wave.
He didn't have to bring up a Marvel character to describe the juggernaut. He could have just said they're a juggernaut. I think everybody knows what a juggernaut is. Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Lee, for calling from Cincinnati. We appreciate you on that one. Meanwhile, the Miami Marlins they represent Miami. I can't keep up. Loser-ass team. Hickey, there's two guys in the outfield looking at their gloves, trying to figure out whether or not the Mets hit a home run.
That's Marlins baseball for you. A little almost Jose Canseco-esque, pushing the ball over the wall.
Yeah, the guy in center field who I've never heard of almost caught the ball, didn't catch the ball, and he helped push the ball over center field. It's a home run. And the pitcher, Hickey, the pitcher is rubbing his temple.
And just think, it's only game 5.
Of the Marlins. Well, look, they can't be as bad as Washington. Not Washington.
The White Sox?
Yeah, it can't be as bad as them, right?
I would agree. I mean, was it 40 wins last year? I would agree. But, boy, they seem like they're trying.
Let's see. Oh, White Sox are starting off the season hot. 2-2 on the season for the Chicago White Sox. Okay.
81 game win pace.
Listen, if they could maintain 500 the rest of the way, that would be a... That'd be a miracle. I have no idea what these umpires are trying to figure out, but the guy touched the ball and basically launched it over. It's not a ground rule double. He did it in the air. Anyway, these umpires are wasting everybody's time. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. This is very important, so listen up. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. You can get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I told you the NFL is having its owners' meetings down in Florida. We got owners chatting. We got coaches chatting. We got GMs flapping their gums. Everybody is talking. When we come back from break, we're going to have a conversation with someone who's very familiar with what goes down at these meetings because he's a former executive with the New York Giants. This man has scouted. He's been director. He's been all over the place, worked with the Eagles, worked with the Bills. His name is Mark Ross. He's now an analyst as well for the NFL Network. We'll have a chat with Mark about some of the news that we've gotten out of Florida. Is Brock Purdy going to get a good deal? What do some of these teams need to do? What's the actual scouting process for guys like Shador and Cam Ward? We got a lot to discuss with Mark Ross. Don't move. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, March might be mad. Baseball might have started up. But the NFL always captures everybody's attention, even when they're just meeting, even when the executives are meeting, the owners are meeting, the coaches are meeting, the GMs are meeting. And we got some news that's come out of these owners' meetings down in Florida. We got players who might get contract extensions, and we got guys like Aaron Rodgers who are still in the news. We have the draft at the end of the month. And so to talk about what we've seen and what we will see over the next month, several months, is someone who's very familiar with things at the NFL. He's an NFL Network analyst. This man has worked with the New York Giants when they won both championships. He's worked in scouting. This guy's worked with the Eagles, the Bills. Joining us right now is Mark Ross. Mark, thank you for the time.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. I guess at this time of the year, the NFL has made everything a spectacle, even when the owners get together and meet. They're looking into the tush-push. We got coaches talking about Aaron Rodgers. What exactly happens at these owners' meetings? And why is the GMs, the coaches, why is everybody talking to everybody?
Well, first of all, everybody just wants to hang out at a nice posh place and sit at the pool and drink and eat together. That's number one. But, yeah, you have to definitely have those meetings that they have to – you could do it over Zoom, but you do have to talk through things and the voting on different different rules and just a way to kind of touch base with everybody that's there. And the key thing you mentioned, yeah, the NFL has turned this into a spectacle. You know, before nobody knew what the owners' meetings were, but now it's a big deal, and we broadcast it. We have people there live. And so it really has taken on a life of its own.
Well, you talk about these storylines. The biggest storyline that I feel like multiple teams have had to discuss is Aaron Rodgers and his status. Everybody from the Steelers to the Minnesota Vikings. How do you think his situation is ultimately going to play out? Is he destined to be a Steeler?
Yeah, I mean, it's all been leading to that. And for the Steelers, they have to make it work because they don't have a quarterback. And but look, even if they get him, I'm on the boat by myself with this, that I've been kind of sick of the whole Aaron Rodgers situation for the past couple years. And, you know, whether he plays for the Steelers or not, he's not going to make them into true contenders. Just as I said this last year, when the Jets season and the season before when he went to it, when he got hurt. So, I mean, we make a whole big fuss and a whole deal about Aaron Rodgers and what he is and is not going to do because of the history, but you're at this point, you're just getting a bottom of the barrel quarterback that's going to be captaining your team.
Well, Mark, what do you think this means? Or what do you think this means for the Steelers if Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up? They can't go the whole season with Mason, can they?
No, they can't. And that's why I said they just really have to make anything happen and then even draft someone as well. And the Steelers really have just kind of botched the whole quarterback situation with the declining years of Ben Roethlisberger and really not getting out ahead of it and kind of getting desperate and drafting Kenny Pickett in the first round. And now here they are another year. You know, the whole Russell Wilson, Justin Fields experiment failed as well. And, you know, it looks like whatever happens next year, they'll be going through similar sort of agony there in Pittsburgh.
NFL Network analyst, former NFL exec Mark Ross is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. Minnesota at least has publicly said that we're not bringing in Aaron Rodgers. We're going to believe in J.J. McCarthy. Do you think that's going to be true? Are we going to see him out there starting week one?
Yeah, I think, you know, with J.J., they have to play him. I mean, they moved up in the first round to take him for a reason. They didn't move up in the first round, and for 2 years later, he's just sitting around watching. So, yeah, and we've seen the success of, you know, just look at his draft class last year. And, you know, Caleb Williams had his ups and downs, but ultimately he looks like he's going to be the guy. Jaden Daniels was transcended. Bo Nix played really well. So, you know, J.J. McCarthy has to be looking at it like, okay, I've been here a whole year. This is year two for me, and it's time for me to go. And I think bringing Aaron Rodgers in there, I don't think that does it any good for J.J. McCarthy at all. Find a competent backup. But let him just give him the keys and let him go.
Well, Mark, you talk about two teams that have a choice at quarterback in selecting. We see the Titans at number one. We got the Cleveland Browns drafting at number two overall. Consensus in a lot of places, most people say, that you go with Cam Ward and then Shador is number two when it comes to the quarterback rankings. Do you share in that thought process?
I do. I think Cam is the clear number one, and I think he's the only player in this draft that can really transform a team. That doesn't mean there won't be great players, but the only one that can have a Jaden Daniels effect, that can have a C.J. Stroud effect just the last 2 years. I think Shador and Jackson Dart are actually very close as far as what they can do and what they can provide for a team. So I think they'll get, you know, Shador will get taken high, but I don't see him really changing a team. Cam Ward, to me, is really the only player that has the ability to do that.
Well, Mark, you've worked in scouting in the Giants and the Eagles, the Bills, what have you. You're familiar with this entire process. We always get so much news and negativity as we go through the draft, and we know a lot of it can be posturing from certain teams. Do you think that's taken place with Shador already? Do you think there's also posturing made by him and his dad on their side?
Well, I think what happens during draft time is if someone says something remotely negative, you know, people kind of get up in arms. But really, all players have strengths. All players have weaknesses. All players have really good things they do on and off the field. And some have not so good. And this time of year, everyone just wants to hear the positivity, positivity, positivity. If you say something remotely almost critical of a player, like you're hating on that guy, you don't like him, or you're trying to crush him or make his stock drop. And, you know, I don't think that's really the case. It's just certain people that are giving their opinion. Now, some of the criticism of Shador, I think, has been kind of unfair. And, you know, Shador could go in a meeting room at the combine and meet with 20 people on the staff, and there could be one guy that says something negative about him for whatever reason, and just may be intimidated by him or whatever. And someone will take that one negative thing and run with it as opposed to the 19 positive things. So, you know, I think Shador is definitely in a uniquely unique situation in history to have Prime as his father, as, you know, someone so prominent and to possibly be a top two or three pick. So, you know, they know their worth, they know their leverage, and more power to them for saying, you know what, this is how we operate and this is how we roll.
And Mark, I got to ask you this. We talk about the Browns. They have that number two overall pick. And today we heard the owner of the Browns, Haslam, basically come out and say selecting Deshaun Watson was just a massive mistake. Deshaun Watson, he still has to pay him $230 million. I've never heard of such a thing. Like, are the Haslams, is he out to lunch? Does he not care at this point in time? Like, what do these comments mean? And why make it now?
Right now for him to say that, it really doesn't do any good. I guess he got a mic in front of him and just decided to cut loose. But, yeah, it doesn't do anybody good. It's obvious to anyone that they know it was a colossal mistake. But maybe it is to take pressure off of Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, that maybe he finally stepped and said, you know what, you know, this wasn't their decision. Deshaun Watson wasn't their call. This was my call. So if that is the case, I actually kind of actually kind of support him for that if he was taking a blow for his guys as opposed to, you know, throwing them under the bus for a couple years and say, yeah, that was their decision. But overall, when we talk about quarterbacks and struggling, that they're going to be right there in the same position next year if they don't get a guy.
Do you think they should take Shador? You don't think he's a game changer at the QB position. If you were the Browns, what would you do?
Yeah. So, again, with my opinion and what has happened, it's funny when I first started kind of helping people throughout this process, and I would talk about quarterbacks and saying, he's not good, that guy's not good, and then we do a mock draft, and I put him in the first round. Like, well, yeah, this is what I think, but this is what teams do. Teams get desperate for quarterbacks every draft, and right. Someone is going to be desperate for Shador, no matter whether I think he's a game changer or not. There's a team that thinks he is, and Jackson Dart as well. He might get taken up there, and so you know that's the process that happens every year. Of even though there's signs with certain quarterbacks that say, you know what, this might not be the guy. You see them get taken high every year.
NFL Network analyst Mark Ross is here with us on the JR Sport Reef Show, coast to coast. There is a quarterback here in Atlanta. He's scheduled to be the backup. He's hanging out in Cleveland taking photos, and I guess this is his way to show how unhappy he is. That's Kirk Cousins. There's no way he's sticking around with the Falcons, is he?
Yeah, I think it's best. You know, number one, I didn't think it was a good signing to start. And, you know, I thought they should have gave Penix the keys a little bit earlier than what they did. But, I mean, if Kirk Cousins fools another team and they're paying him the money and making him the starter, man, that'll be unbelievable. But I think the best thing for everyone involved is just get rid of him. I know you're going to have to pay him, and there's going to be dead money and all those implications financially. But sometimes, you know, you just have to make those moves in order to just like, all right, Mike, this is your job. This is your role. Nobody's looking over your shoulder. You know, go for it. So I think that would probably be best for the Falcons.
If we think about the last time we saw some NFL action, we saw what Philadelphia did to Kansas City. Philadelphia letting some of their veterans go, whether they retire or they're being traded away. And Kansas City trying to figure out their offensive line. I know it's early. We have to get through the draft. But who are some teams outside of those two that you're real interested to see what they do this upcoming season?
Well, of course, you know, the Titans, number one, just to see what they do with that first pick. But, you know, but the former team, the Giants, what are they going to do at quarterback? And you know, there's no way they're going to roll into the season trying to, with Brian Daboll and GM Joe Shane saying, okay, Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston save our jobs. That to me seems as if you should just start packing up the office now. We'll see how much, you know, the Commanders were during the trade and free agency period. I thought, you know, they really brought in impact players. They signed key free agent on their own team, and you know, they made moves. They were in the NFC Championship game last year, and they made moves to say, you know what, Eagles, we're coming for you, and it's our turn this year. So I love the aggressiveness that they did. See how well the Bears come along with their offseason signings. Even the Patriots did a really good job in free agency, kind of revamping that team. So, you know, the NFL is week to week, seeing somebody's interesting, but just right from the start, those teams in the offseason so far have done a good job.
Hey, Mark, as we wrap up, I do want to follow up on what you mentioned about your former team that you work with, the New York Giants. Would it not kind of give Joe Shane a little bit more runway to work with potentially if he does draft the quarterback to enter into that room, albeit it might be crowded?
No question. I was on air today, and we had a segment about that, and I said they got to do whatever they can because, as I said, if you're going into the season thinking Jameis and Russ are going to save your job, or you're going to be a good team, then you're just not evaluating your own team well, you're not evaluating those players well, and you're setting yourself up for failure. But at least if you draft Shador, let's just say they get traded from 3 to 2, or Cleveland doesn't take Shador, and they end up getting Shador, moving back and taking Jackson Dart, at least you're hopefully buying yourself time with the owner saying, let me work with this young quarterback. I finally got to bring my own guy in here. Let me coach him up for a couple of years and give me some time.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't factor in self-preservation when they think about some of the moves that get made on the NFL side. Well, Mark, thank you so much for your time and for your expertise. Where can people follow and watch you?
Well, the path of the draft is going on now on NFL Network, or the Insiders as well. I'm on there. I'm at Mark Ross on Twitter and at Mark Ross 2 on IG.
Hey, Mark, thank you so much for the time. We'll catch you on down the line, okay?
Sure thing, anytime.
No doubt about it. That Mark Ross, former executive with the New York Giants, man, was a wide receiver at Princeton, his scouting director with the Eagles and the Bills. And now, as you said, you can catch him all the time on the NFL Network. Yeah, self-preservation, a lot of people don't factor that in when they think about some of the choices and decisions that are made from NFL general managers. It's a wild world. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about these comments made by Haslam earlier today about his own quarterback. I can't believe he said my guy sucks and we made a mistake. And the guy is still on the roster. I guess maybe he's paying him enough money. He doesn't care how he feels. And maybe if you are Deshaun Watson, maybe you don't care what's being said because your checks are still going to cash. We'll get into that on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah. Whether I'm talking about my, the guy downstairs who steals my umbrella, or we're having a conversation about the upcoming NFL draft with a former NFL executive and analyst like Mark Ross. I try to make things a little interesting here. And thank you so much again to Mark for coming through to join us in the last break. If you want to call up, you can do that too. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Now, one of the ridiculous things that I mentioned in our conversation with Mark Ross is that the owner of the Cleveland Browns, we know, I know, you know, that there have been some dumb decisions that have been made. Jimmy Haslam is the owner of the Browns. And from the minute that he decided to sign Deshaun Watson to a guaranteed contract, giving him $230 million, all the while he's being investigated for, I don't know, about 25 to 30 cases of sexual assault, and then also coming off of an injury and then being suspended, it all seemed like a bad idea. And it was a bad idea. And today, Jimmy Haslam, speaking to the media, he acknowledged this, that the Deshaun Watson trade, a lot of T's, a lot of D's, it was a big swing and a miss. And that Jimmy Haslam takes full responsibility for bringing on Deshaun Watson, who, by the way, is still on the team. The man who just tore his Achilles tendon and needed his Achilles surgically repaired twice. Listen to this terrible timeline. He was traded to the Browns for 6 picks. They gave him $230 million guaranteed. He was then suspended for 11 games. They knew he was going to be suspended. The guy needed season-ending shoulder surgery a year after he returned. In October, this past October, he tore his Achilles tendon. And then in January, he tore it again, needed it to be fixed. Don't expect to see Deshaun Watson this year, regardless of what videos that he puts out. The Cleveland Browns, as I mentioned, they have a selection at number 2 overall. And it is just, it's a sad, sad situation in Cleveland. I've never heard an owner admit to a mistake while the guy is still on the roster. If you needed confirmation that Deshaun Watson will never throw a football again for the Cleveland Browns, I think you got one today. I've never heard an owner own up to a mistake and then put that mistake onto the field. Hickey, when is Jerry Jones going to admit to one of his mistakes?
Never.
Okay. All right. I was just thinking if there was a little bit of hope, but apparently not.
That'd be great, though. Great theater.
If Jerry Jones said, I made a mistake?
I should have never paid Dak.
Oh, boy. The 60 mil or just at all?
The 60 mil.
Oh, boy.
Dak is like a 3-interception game. There's Jerry in the post game. I should have never paid him.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll never happen. I have to see. I'm going to Google that in the break. Has Jerry Jones ever admitted to making a mistake? You know, we'll see sooner than later. And speaking of all these NFL owners, as they sit down in Florida and act like the billionaires they are, well, they're not acting, being billionaires, I don't know what they do. I don't know. These guys are old. Some of them are old. Like, is Jerry Jones staying up until one of this? Hickey, does he have a concept of time? He's so rich. Does it exist?
I think so. I would say yes, because he's still on, like, he's technically still working as a GM. So you can't just kind of live your life in I guess, ignorant bliss, if you will. So I would think so.
I'm trying to figure out if he's going to sleep early or not, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Jerry Jones is tucked in by 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, or is he having a cigar downstairs with the other billionaires?
I bet you he's asleep, because he also knows, you know, when he talks, it's like a performance and a show. So I think he's got to be ready to put the show on. You can't be, tired, one eye still closed, because you had a late night the night before.
This guy's a billionaire a couple of times over, and he's at some fancy resort. He's probably having somebody bring him McDonald's in the morning.
Oh, 100%.
Right.
He's not going to the complimentary breakfast. No shot.
He could have somebody feeding him grapes. He's like, nah, I want my Mickey D's. Okay.
I'm bringing my own breakfast. Don't worry about me, guys.
Yeah, what a world. Well, that's a decision to make. And these owners, there's actually another decision. We all heard a couple of months ago, maybe last month, about how Murphy, the president of the Green Bay Packers, has basically decided to take charge and lead the fact that the tush push, made famous by the Philadelphia Eagles, successfully made famous by the Philadelphia Eagles, that it should be banned, that it's not a legal maneuver. They need to get rid of it. And it's just like, why? There's nothing illegal about it. The Philadelphia Eagles have certainly gone forth and perfected it. Now, we got a bunch of complaining-ass teams, apparently, that are in favor of making a change to the tush push. And I'm just saying to myself, just because the Eagles do something good and nobody else is good enough to copy it and have success, give them a break. I think their success rate is somewhere about 85%, and the other teams are close to about 70% if they should dare even try it. A matter of fact, Hickey, you found this information. The Eagles and the Bills are only two teams that ran the play more than five times last season. So whose fault is that other teams aren't even trying? And it's not even 1% of all plays, but they want to ban it? I would never expect these owners and these teams to just go soft. But apparently they are. And it's driving me a little crazy that the NFL is even in this spot to think about it. Ian Rappaport talked about this earlier today on a Pat McAfee show, and he said that the rule could be changed or rewritten.
I don't know that it's getting banned, but I do feel kind of like you're saying, the groundswell of maybe rewriting it. So, like, is it going to go away? I don't know, but rewriting it would make some sense. And I think what they're nervous about is, like, the NFL officials have said very publicly, there's not enough injury data to see if it's something that, like, long-term could be a play that's sort of like an injury-filled play. But what they're nervous about is some catastrophic injury to, like, an offensive lineman. I think the center is probably most at risk. And then you react and say, then ban it. So I think they're trying to get ahead of it and say, how can we make it just a little bit safer?
And nobody got hurt yet. Like, what are we doing? Like, this is NFL football. Everybody out there is going to get hurt to some degree. And nobody's gotten hurt because they don't run the play enough. It's just NFL has gotten soft. And now we got Sean McDermott. Yeah, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. The man whose team is the only other team that tries to run this play. Even Sean McDermott is against it. What?
Where I'm most concerned is, even though there's not significant data out there to this point, my biggest concern is the health and safety of the players, first and foremost. It's two things. It's force, added force, number one, and then the posture of the players, you know, being asked to execute that type of play. That's where my concern comes in.
Oh, boy. So it's dangerous now. The posture, Hickey, has anybody gotten hurt? Everybody says there's no injury data here, but they want to change it for what?
no one's gotten hurt. And like you just said with the stat, we're talking about the team that ran the tush push the second most times in the league. The Bills are now advocating for it to be outlawed, and you're concerned about player safety as you continue to call the play? Makes no sense.
Yeah, NFL is soft. I mean, he's contradicting himself. It's crap. Everybody's being a bunch of whiny losers right now. Oh, the Philadelphia Eagles do it, and they don't need to do it. And now they want to ban it or change it or adjust it? This is weak. And anytime anybody in the NFL ever says a word about player safety and we care about the players, you need to knock that crap off right out of the gate. This is the league that had to pay millions of dollars to ex-player. I mean, I could go on and on about the NFL and a million reasons why they do not give a damn about player safety. How about the fact that they want to expand to 18 games? Be honest, and they never will, because why do they want to open themselves up to a lawsuit? But, man, if you got a way making more money versus player safety, we know which way the NFL is going. They're business first. Players will always come and go. Money, and you can rake that in for generations. Screw them players. At least it's the NFL's thought process. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We come back. We'll talk more and hear about some of these other teams that have spoken as the NFL meetings are going on. Of course, we'll talk more college basketball. We'll give you a few things that took place this day in sports history. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.